This episode is brought to you in partnership with Chew Chicago. Chicago and no.
Hey.
Hey.
77 flavors on location. Haven't said that in a long time.
Oh, my God.
Because we always on location pretty much. She hates that, just so that you know, Wendy. she hates that. So, throwback. We are outside here in Hyde Park on 53rd Street.
Yep.
Probably one of the hardest places to find a parking spot.
That's right. That's right.
It's a beautiful day out here. This episode is not sponsored by Starbucks. However,
right, don't look at that. But if they want to, we'll take the money.
However, we not shying away from nothing.
Yeah, we will take it.
Wendy, we do trivia before we start, before we get everything going.
Right.
We do some trivia. I'm gonna see how much people know, or whatever. This is this one might be a tough one
okay,
for people.
Let's hear it.
They should know, because if you listen to the first episode here in Hyde Park, I talked about this.
Okay.
Trivia for today. What world's first happened in this community area on December 2nd, 1942?
World's first?
World's first.
What world's first?
1942.
Yeah, December 2nd. Yeah. Damn, that's me dropping shit. what world's first? Anybody know?
Well, aren't you going to do the little music and then we come back?
Yeah, yeah. The little blah music. You mean our intro?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play the intro.
How's it go?
Yeah. No, it's not. It doesn't. You'll hear it now.
Yeah, you're going to hear it in a second. Matter of fact, 77 Flavors of Chicago start right now.
This is the podcast where we visit all 77 of Chicago's historic neighborhoods and discuss their heritage and taste the amazing food.
And if you know anything about us, we love two things, food and Chicago. So I can't wait to burn this gas money.
You ready?
Let's get it.
This is the 77 Flavors of Chicago, the podcast.
Hey.
Hey.
Gave y'all some time to think.
Okay. 1942. What is...
Listener, you had about 30, 45 seconds right there to Google on your phone.
Okay, so here's we are mid-World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are mid-World War II. We definitely mid-World War II. Yeah.
Railroads already established.
That's a good thought process.
That's where I was going
right.
with it.
Yeah.
Railroads already established.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is happening?
What is happening?
I mean, this used to be the entire South Side.
Yeah.
And it was a vacation spot.
Yeah.
For people.
Hyde Park was an experiment.
Yeah.
Okay.
A cultural experiment.
Listeners, are y'all tracking with them? Are y'all tracking?
Okay.
Y'all got about 10 more seconds till I just spill a bean.
Wait. Let's see. Hyde Park was an experience. Railroad was established.
Okay. Yeah. Mid-World War II.
Mid-World War II.
You close with that one. This is...
Okay, so that means there was a military official that came here.
Okay. Maybe we can extend the time limit here.
A
military
related.
Official that came here.
Oh, no, you're getting further away.
Is it
military related?
Yeah. You know
military
what?
Military related.
Let me do this for
End
y'all.
The suspense.
This is what I'm gonna do for y'all.
Damn.
Time is up.
Okay.
Here it is. Yeah, I told you we got buttons here.
We got buttons.
So, question again. Was world's first happened here in this community area, December 2nd, 1942? The answer is the world's first artificial nuclear reaction.
I knew I was going to say something to do with nuclear something.
Because
I was thinking Pearl Harbor. That's where my brain was going.
That was the Cold War. That was World War II.
But I'm thinking it had to do something with that.
Yeah, you were close.
And then it was buried somewhere.
Tell us more about that.
I will. It is called the Chicago Pile 1. It was right here in UIC. And they did the world's first nuclear reaction here.
Is that the one that was buried?
Yeah, it is buried. They moved it from where it was because of the nuclear waste and, hazardous materials.
Right.
And actually, it's not even here in Chicago anymore. They moved it to what's called Site A and Plot M. Is the disposal site in the Red Gate Woods out there, the Palos Forest Preserve. There you go, y'all.
Wow.
If anybody got that right out there.
I feel like I should have gotten that one.
You were close. Y'all were close. Yeah, the way y'all were thinking, I was like, when you said officials, I'm like, close.
My favorite.
Where I was going with the officials, then I was going to say they did something here. That, in conjunction with UIC. That was my next.
That was close. Ah, it was so close. We got some more fun. I got some more fun facts about, you know, that. But before we do, I'll let Dario.
Oh, Sarah.
And we are here with Wendy Muhammad, our guest for today. Y'all make some noise.
Peace and blessings.
There you go. You know, Wendy, we met Wendy while working with Blacks in Green, which you'll find out more about very soon on an upcoming episode. And she's part of the Coalition for Black House Museums here in Chicago. Basically houses that should be represented by historical landmark status or some kind of recognition here in Chicago for significance in the Black community.
That's right. Preservation.
Preservation.
To properties that are represented by underrepresented communities, I should say.
Right. There you go. And that's perfect. So I'll let Wendy, I'll let you tell people who you are and what you do. And because your house, I tailored today's information.
Yeah.
Did you?
You know,
wow.
Yeah, to kind of build up to.
Yeah.
So don't quite tell what the house is because I'm going to give you your moment. Yeah.
So, yes, I'm one of the founding members of the Coalition of Black House Museums. Mm-hmm. That was started as a collective effort or a collective response to an attack that we experienced by Alderman Sophia King.
Call him out.
Who now is running for mayor.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, hold on. You said we got a button for that, huh?
Give me a button. Give me a button. Talk about that. And so we had a collective response as Black House Museums. And so we created the Black House Museums, the Coalition of Black House Museums, and we are about the preservation of properties that are significant to underrepresented communities like ours.
Yeah.
And so we're an organization, we're growing, and you know, people are knowing about us, mm-hmm. And so that's that part of it.
Yeah.
I got into this field a number of different ways, but my background is in business consulting and developing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a spiritualist.
Yeah,
I get paid for being me.
That's the easiest way to make money.
The goal.
that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Is to
that's
be
everyone's
you.
Everyone's dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very dope how we met. And again, I said for those of you that are listening out there, normally is Sarah.
Wow.
This
I feel like that was not necessary to mention.
That was,
just
wait.
Just
there's
threw
more,
me under the bus.
Baby shade.
There's more shade on this. There's more shade on this podcast. No, but we met, we met through Blacks in Green, which,
right.
again, y'all will hear
right.
about more. Fantastic what they're doing. We've worked with them for a long time now. So mm-hmm. Get used to that acronym. Big is what we call it.
Big.
So, but the recap before we start,
I want to talk a little bit more about the coalition.
Yeah.
So
it's
five women, right? If I remember,
women who own historic properties in
right.
the city of
Powerful.
Chicago,
and then some of them are the Emmett Till Home
mm-hmm.
and
Phyllis Wheatley,
which,
Muddy Waters, yeah.
Pullman Porters,
yeah,
yep.
which is really cool because they're actually going to be moving locations. So, but that house is still going to be recognized.
Right.
We want it to still be recognized. Yeah.
What's the challenge with? I feel like I can't imagine it being that difficult to, once you've proven that, for example, Emmett Till's childhood home. Once you've proven that was his childhood home.
What's the delay?
You know what I mean? Like, why isn't that instant?
Yeah.
Well, the delay, sis, is that we don't own and monetize our own culture.
Mm.
We don't own our own culture.
Okay.
We don't own the history. We don't own the transference of information about ourselves.
Right.
It's owned by people who don't look like us.
Right.
So this renaissance, this movement to take Chicago from being the vortex of violence to the center of this renaissance of cultural, I call it a cultural renaissance,
right.
Is new. This is a new thing. It's
yeah.
a new emerging market of us owning and recognizing and monetizing
right.
our own history.
Yeah.
And it's rare. And rarely do we actually own. See, in the broader community, the history is preserved by business people.
Mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the business people say, hey, this is historic. This means something to me. I'm going to use my own resources and my own dollars and that of my friends and family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to invest in it.
Yeah.
In our communities, it's not that. We're all philanthropic and we're looking for money and we're looking for grants. But what that means is that we cede control.
Right. Right.
Whether we believe it or not. But once somebody starts telling you, whoever controls the purse is who owns the property.
Right.
Yeah. And then, basically what we're saying is Michael Jordan should come back, buy one of these houses, and make it a museum.
Right. Michael Jordan should come back.
Get on it.
And buy one of these houses.
Be like, look, buy up the block. You can do it.
Literally.
The athletes. We have so much history here in Chicago. So many famous people. You know this, Mr. Historian.
Yeah.
Nat King Cole and the Chaka Khan.
I like
it. And Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
And
right.
Listen, come back, buy your house, let us run it, but let's make it a historic landmark because urban historic preservation is important. And I don't want to go on and on, but let me just say this one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Reason why it's important is because during the Great Migration, when you had over, they say, half a million people who migrated from the South to the North and landed here in places like Chicago, New York, St. Louis.
Detroit. Yeah.
That piece of history is almost becoming extinct.
Right.
Wow.
Because
they
ran the highways through our communities.
Right.
See, we were redlined. We only could live in certain areas. So they ran the highways through our communities.
Right.
We were closed down.
Yeah.
We were told to move out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you had the regentrification happening, the properties being sold. And so I've learned so much and met so many people, so many ancestral energies through this process, people I didn't even know.
It's very dope. And it's kind of like same thing with this podcast. We've met so many different people, you know, through the podcast and be able to, you know, talk about history, find out directly from the source. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what's the vibe here? And, you know, we talk about vibe here. Y'all hear it is busy down here.
It's nice.
Love it. I mean, like, this is, it's so much down here. Silver Room.
Yeah.
We are literally doors from Silver Room.
Virtue. I'm just at the Silver Room. And Eric is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I always try to support, but I'm going to stay up out of there.
Yeah, yeah. I got a whole bag.
I know. Every time.
I'm not playing with Eric no more. I'm done.
I came up with the name for the campaign where we can rally up these celebrities.
What?
It's going to be called Celebrate History, and it's because it's history brought to you by celebrities.
Come on,
oh,
Sarah.
Okay.
You know?
Look,
these homes.
Give her another button.
You get another? Okay. All right. You get another one? Okay. All right.
If there's any celebrity that listens to this,
go ahead.
You want in.
Hey, we know they're listening.
You know what? Let's start with local celebrities.
Right.
Hey.
So you got people like Chance the Rapper and Common.
Yes.
And
talk about
Lil Durk and Chief Keef.
People out here doing something. Y'all help us.
Kyrie Hakeem and all that. Look, bring your dollars back and help us to preserve our history here in Chicago. It's time for us to tell our own story.
Soundbite.
Give me a
hand,
please.
Give you another one. We coin heavy this episode.
You know? All right, let's start learning.
I'm ready. Wendy, before we start learning, this is how we get in tune. I don't know if you recognize this song, this melody. There you go. Yeah. Do you feel at peace with learning that?
Do you feel ready?
She said, I don't know. I feel something.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go.
We are ready.
We are ready.
Y'all, we are back in Hyde Park Community Area number 41, our second go round here. I did this before. I was doing my research, and I feel like this was right at the beginning of when I started doing the boundaries. And I think I might have done the boundaries the first time because the old boundaries were so significant because this used to be almost the entire South Side.
Right.
So I think this is the first time I'm officially doing the boundaries as part of the show.
And you know what? This was far out.
Yeah. Right? We will talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
The boundaries. To the north, we got East Hyde Park Boulevard. To the south, 60th Street. Did I say south?
Yeah.
To the east, Lake Michigan. And to the west, Cottage Grove. To the east, there's something significant about that. In the east, we know that's the water, right? And I'm going to talk about that in a second, so keep that all in mind. But a recap for those that did not either remember or didn't listen to the first one, for some reason you are not tuned in. This was started by the University of, actually, this area was started by Paul Cornell, who was the cousin of the Cornell University founder, Ezra Cornell. He purchased
Cornell Street right down here.
He purchased 300 acres of land. And like you were saying, he wanted to attract Chicagoans and business people to come to the area because this was a suburb and a getaway to Chicago because, you know, circa 1871, before Chicago burned down, you know, Chicago was small. You know, it was small. So this was a distant land.
This is an annex, but I got something else for you.
Go talk to it.
You know, the lake shore came all the way out to here.
Let me get your coin. Let me get your coin because that's coming up here. That's coming. That's why you hear Wendy is right.
Get my mic straight.
I was gonna say, let her finish her sentence.
Yeah, it's so funny because
it's like he loves his facts.
This is so dope when guests come on here and they actually know. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we all right here. I like that. But before we get there,
we're gonna come back.
We're gonna come back to it. We have to.
Because I got receipts. I got proof.
She got receipts. Let's get it then. Hyde Park was a township. It's still with the recap. Hyde Park was a township. Again, was pretty much the entire South Side, almost the entire South Side, what it is today. Mm-hmm. World's Fair, 1893, was held here. The University of Chicago. That's very significant. Mm-hmm. That's very significant because, for one reason, that is why we have community areas.
Right.
Is because of the University of Chicago. And it was actually started by John D. Rockefeller, who donated some money, as well as Marshall Field, who donated land. So we've mentioned Marshall Field several times on this podcast. That's because he was very significant other than the store. He was a mover and shaker here, you know. So and John D. Rockefeller, y'all know that's a New Yorker, but like he was big on the education aspect, and he thought this was a good idea, so he said, "Go ahead, do it, and do that." And that's where Chicago Power One, the world's first nuclear reaction, happened. So there's your recap. Also, there's a bunch of historic people. We're gonna talk about just a little bit here. Wendy's gonna talk about another historical feature figure here, but. New stuff, and I tailored this to you. Something we didn't talk about, and I talked about while we eating. I don't know how I did not say this the first time, and maybe I planned this so I have some more to come back to, but there are 20-plus historical places and buildings here in Hyde Park.
That's crazy.
20. When y'all think about that, like, that's a lot of history
in one
community, and not just like landmark status here in Chicago. We're talking National Registry of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. So nationally, this is some place that you should know about, right?
And there's probably more, obviously. Probably.
There's many. Probably. There's more.
Yeah.
So I'm almost pass it off to you.
No.
Because one of these historic places, and actually a bunch of them, are buildings and apartments. Okay, and one is the Chicago Beach Apartments. Which is called Chicago Beach because, like Wendy was saying, the shoreline used to be right up, like at least a block and a half inland from where it is right now. So when you talk about like that building was significant because it was built by a black guy who was a very, very good architect. And this was one of his first buildings that he created that actually took him kind of like over the top. And it's one of the first buildings that had a skeleton frame. So a skeleton frame is where you kind of see the framework on the outside of the building.
That's right.
So, but to your point, you want to tell them more about where the shoreline used to be here?
So I had heard that. And just a little spoiler alert, as an owner of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House, now listed on the National Historic Registry.
Hey,
can I have a button?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, I was doing it. I was there.
When we decided to renovate the basement, we lowered the floor by 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And when we dug down, guess what was underneath it?
Talk to us.
Sand.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the house, that neighborhood sits on sand, which means that the shoreline had to come out pretty far.
Wow. Yes. Go ahead.
How?
It's, right. You know, landfill. I mean, like
landfill. This man-made dam that's
pushing it back.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So we also think about that because, you know, Chicago is, we love Chicago, right? We love Chicago. It's the greatest city in the world.
Love Chicago. Love it.
But what people don't really talk about is, like, you know, the Nile River runs reverse, right? You know what I mean? Like, and that's a feat in itself, right?
Correct.
You know what I mean? That people are like, how the hell does that happen?
Correct. Right.
Chicago manufactured a river to go the opposite direction.
All right. I'll tell you something else. Chicago is one of the places where one of the three ley lines all intersect, and we are directly longitudinally connected to Chichen Itza, Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And that one ley line...
Feel good, don't it?
That one ley line goes along the shoreline of Lakeshore Drive. Now, what's interesting is that we're not talking about the man-made shoreline.
Right.
We're talking about the original shoreline, which ran through Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at, I'm telling you.
That's why you feel the energy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
that we talked about earlier.
That's so dope.
That's so dope. I know I say this all the time.
You got goosebumps. That's dope, though, man. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, I see them.
Yeah, they real. That's it. Y'all can catch it in 4K.
Right.
Y'all, if you look at it on YouTube.
Wow.
So I knew I was like, I'm coming in. I'm glad you said that. That's really dope. But to me, when I read that, I was like, there's 20 places, and we were talking, maybe 14 or 15 of those are actual buildings here in Hyde Park, and you can see them. We see them in plain sight. Like,
tell us some of them.
You know, I don't have the names right now because I didn't write them out down because I got something else.
Do you know some?
No, I just know. I know the beach, the Chicago Beach building.
Yep.
That's the only one I know.
There's several apartments. There's another one, the Roby House, that is over there by UIC on the campus. There's the house that Frank Lloyd Wright actually built. It's very modern. Again, also there in UIC.
It's on Woodlawn. And then, you know, this whole Kenwood district is a historic.
It's historic, the whole Kenwood. So with that, reason why I say all that stuff first is because there's a bunch of different places and buildings. And Chicago is big on buildings. And I'm going to give you a World's Fair family tree. All right?
Okay.
And it's pretty. And it involves significant Chicago landmarks.
Okay.
So the Palace of Fine Arts was started in 1893.
Okay.
The World's Fair, that was, of course, for fine arts. So it was a huge, luxurious building that was made for the oncomers, the visitors, right? That turned into the Field Museum.
Right.
That turned into the Field Museum a year later after the World's Fair. The Field Museum, almost 30 years later, it moved to the location that it is now. The Field Museum in its original form turned into the Museum of Science and Industry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That
Field Museum as in Marshall Field?
Yes. So, So it started in 1933 is when the Museum of Science and Industry actually started and was a part of it. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool. That little tree, family tree, here in Chicago, all came from the World's Fair, which was right here, Jackson Park in Hyde Park. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So next time you see, and again, it's reconstructed, you know what I mean? Like, if you go inside the Museum of Science and Industry, which is a huge generator for tourism here in Chicago, especially here at Hyde Park, too, next time you go in there, you are in, you know, basically the Palace of Fine Arts.
That's crazy. I wonder what it looked like on the inside.
Yeah, you know,
you probably can find pictures of it.
Yeah.
You probably can.
I'm thinking.
I'm going to look it up because I know the public library has archived photos of a lot of things that happened, throughout the history of the city.
Yeah.
But I feel like they might have something on that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And by the time, you know, we get this, I'll have a picture. We can post it in there. If you're watching, we'll post it up.
Okay.
There you go. But I thought that was really cool to kind of do
really
a little
cool
tree. I say all that to say this. One of the other pretty cool things that I know I personally, as a Chicagoan here, I've seen it many times, and I don't pay attention to it enough. Inside of the Museum of Science and Industry, another landmark inside of, you know, that is the German submarine U-505.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I've seen it many times.
I didn't know that was its own
landmark. Not only is it a landmark, but it's also in the National Register of Historic Places.
I always think, how did they get that in there?
Yeah, so I got some information on it.
Oh, okay.
So,
Let me guess. They took it apart and put it back together.
They did. But what they did was the first location that it was at, the humidity and the weather conditions were going to deteriorate it, right?
And
not have it be original. Also, when they took the boat, they had the submarine. The submarine had all the things inside of it from when they was captured. To the point they actually found one of the captain's or crew members binoculars on the inside.
Oh, I thought the actual person. I was like, oh my God.
Person, yeah, no, that would be weird. That would be a dope story. But yeah, they found his binoculars and they gave him his binoculars back. So they moved it to where it is now. And they also talked to the original manufacturer of the U-505 to replace all the parts in this so that it's back to its almost original form as close as they possibly could be.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the other thing is it was captured. So some stats on it. It was captured by the United States June 4th, 1944. So 11 years after it arrived, you know, after the museum science industry was started.
Wow.
It was donated to the museum 10 years after that in 1954. And then it's one of the four German World War II boats that survived. Yeah, so pretty cool. And in 1989, it was added to both the National Register of Historic Places and the National Historic Landmark status. So pretty cool history. So next time you come here in Chicago and you are in the... Also, another fun fact, something I talked about before. I'm just going to keep on saying this. The Zephyr, the train that you first see, it's like the only free exhibit you can see walking up in there.
Right.
That train arrived in the second World's Fair, which is 1933, and at 1933, coincidentally, that's when the museum started. They didn't start because of each other. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't like the museum was started because of the second World's Fair. It just happened to be a coincidence. So a lot of history right here in Hyde Park. One more building, you said it, is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House, which I don't know if you told anybody yet or anybody publicly can see it, but like you said, it's got national landmark status?
Yes.
National landmark status as of what date? Because this is before
as
that.
As of March 22nd, 2022.
Hey. Hey, what's going on? So, and you get your plaque.
Hopefully, inshallah, we get it soon.
you get the plaque soon. So
speed up the process. It's called a landmark marker.
Landmark marker.
Or a historical marker.
Perfect. Now, tell us about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the house
and the street that it's on. All of that.
Yeah, because the street is dope, y'all.
Yes,
it is. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House is the address is 48. Where's the camera? 4847.
And you'll see it right
Let them know.
South Woodlawn Avenue. It's in the historic Kenwood District.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam. And through his work, he helped to establish Islam in America as we know it and gave us our freedom as Muslims. Because of his sacrifices, because of his steadfastness, because of over 44 years of just really pushing that narrative, and we can talk a little bit about that later. His home, his home that he purchased and lived in from 1952 to 1972 is the home we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On that particular block of Woodlawn, he is responsible for 6 buildings.
Wow.
You didn't know that, did you?
No.
So
I did. I got inside.
That's why the corner should be named after him. Give me a button.
Hey.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad Way. Elijah Muhammad Avenue.
Yeah.
Why? Because that corner there of 49th and Woodlawn, there's his original home at 4847. And then there's his new home at 4855. And the history about that is that that house is next door. It sits on land. And there was a house once owned by Lou Rawls.
Yeah, Lou Rawls.
And he purchased the land through a transaction that took place over the fence.
Over the fence transaction.
Paper bag of money.
That's crazy.
He tore the house down and built that house. Then he built 4 other houses directly across the street on a plot of land he purchased because the FBI used to hide in the bushes over there.
Wow.
And watch and listen to everything that he did. So he bought the land, tore down the bushes, and eventually built the property there.
What a way to make your own. You know what I mean? Like, look, oh, y'all gonna watch me? Buy the block. You know?
Right, literally.
Buy the block. Yeah, so this house, cut the goddamn trees down. This house at 4847 was built in 1902. It's 120 years old. It was originally built by William French Burroughs and Louisa Libbey. The architects are very famous. They're called Frost and Granger. Mm-hmm. Why is that historical, since we've been talking about historical? Well, they are the proprietors of the Libby's food brand.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Oh.
So if you know, if you're old enough, you know the commercial, right? So the Burrell, the French Burrell family and the Libby family, you know, came together through marriage, and they were canners, meat canners, yep. And they created the food brand. Interestingly enough, what they did there, many of these people that you're talking about, the Marshall Fields and people like that, they met with him there in that house because he was all about nation building.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he met with these top entrepreneurs from the Chicago area, and they basically built Chicago.
Wow.
Well, guess what? What now makes that house the single most important piece of property in modern-day African-American history is because from 1952 to 1972, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was visited with and met with and dined with more leaders from our community in that civil rights period and around the world than any other piece of property in modern-day black history.
Talk about the names that were in existence.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Mrs. Coretta Scott King, Betty Shabazz, James Baldwin, James Brown, Sam Cooke, Senator Adam Clayton Powell, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, Bernard King, the 1968 members of the Democratic Convention, Andrew Young. It can go on and on and on.
It's a list.
Minister Louis Farrakhan can go on and on.
And then that walkway up to the house has a special name, right?
Yeah, so when you come onto the property, we consider that, and it is sacred property.
Mm-hmm.
It's sacred ground. So when you walk up the front area, we call that Elijah's Friendship Garden. And we call it that because he was such a friend to so many people. And we have receipts. We're not just saying that.
Right.
We have recordings. We have photos. We have information that you will learn when you get to come there about what really happened in that house and the magnificent amount of work that was done there to build a nation. And so when you walk up, as you know, as soon as you walk up, you feel that energy.
Yeah.
When you walk down the driveway to the back, we call that Elijah's Garden of Peace.
Yeah.
Because the energy there is so powerful that it literally takes over.
You know, and it's I was going to say, what's really cool is that this is stuff in Chicago most people don't even know about. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know about, you know, like what happened in these neighborhoods.
Right.
A lot of times, to be honest, people don't explore this area, right? You don't explore the area. But you have some really cool things that you are looking to do with the restoration and preservation of this house, too. I know a little bit about it. I want you to talk about it because there's some really cool things that you're going to be doing.
So the whole idea is, and the whole concept is, to create a living museum.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by that? It doesn't represent a dead person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to come there and feel these life-giving words, life-giving teachings, life-giving lessons, life-giving experiences. And so one of the things we will say to you when you come to visit is, welcome to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad experience.
Mm.
Because what you're going to experience is something that's different from the press,
right?
Something different from the media PR campaign. You're going to get to experience it as told by people who know and love him, which is a rarity in our community.
Yeah.
And some of the cool things, we're working on virtual and in-person tours.
That's so dope.
Yeah. So in-person tours, which is going to be cool, which is a whole nother experience, right?
Yeah.
Where we'll take the first floor and make it look the way it looked in the 1960s when he lived there.
That's amazing.
Using what we call He Lives technology inside, which is 3D augmented reality technology, so that you can literally see where these meetings take place. So we're preserving the 120-year-old architecture, which is about 90% intact. But what we're doing is we're telling the story with technology. Right. So we're bringing that technology in. Right. Mapping the house so that you can log on online and take virtual tours.
That's so dope. That's so dope. You also, the detail to the outside.
Yeah.
And I want to say you have, so there's two things. There's a sculpture that you all are going to have out there.
Yeah.
And then the facade of the building had copper on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to talk about both of those things because I think both are really cool. And you do, I know with the copper, you're doing something specifically.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So go ahead.
So, so interestingly enough, I was looking for a sculpture to put out front that would represent the evolution of this type of level of self-improvement.
Yeah.
And so how do we represent that? How do we pull in all of that? And so the thought was to represent the African diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
And so do y'all know Maxwell MK's?
I don't know. Maybe I do. If
the
I saw
Man his... Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So working with a curator, I was introduced to Maxwell MK's. Maxwell got the concept. He created this statue called the Cracked Atom. We have lessons in the Nation of Islam, things that we learn and study and memorize. And one is a lesson called, I call it the Cracked Atom. That's not, it's in the book called The Supreme Wisdom.
Mm.
The lesson is Mr. Muhammad cracked one atom into 10 million parts.
Mm.
The idea of the cracking of the atom is, in short, cracking the brain so that as we are moving through life, we're communicating with the Creator, with the universe. We're on one wavelength. We're going to do a whole thought pattern and a whole teaching around that. But these are seven members of the African diaspora who are all touching that cracked atom. And they're actually holding a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Because through the establishment of trade and commerce, they will help to establish Islam in America. Because the trade and commerce is how they do it, taking a play from, you know, the history that we know from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So then this statue is so incredible. When we started to get the pieces in, they looked like people. They came alive.
Yeah.
Because Maxwell did such a great job at studying facial structures and making them look real and creating the uniforms and the outfits. So we decided to make them superheroes.
There you go.
As, said they all
as they should be.
Have superpowers.
I love that.
And they're all normal people from throughout the African diaspora who discover their superpower.
Wow.
Showing all of us that we have a superpower.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can use that superpower if we all tap into this cracked atom, to this knowledge, this wisdom, and unite.
Right.
We can change the world.
Right.
Talk that talk.
And so together, they're on these adventures.
Yeah.
Throughout the universe.
Oh, you should have an artist write a comic book series about them.
There we go. Yeah. So we already wrote
a script.
Oh, I love that.
For a movie.
Oh.
For a movie.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
An animated movie. And so we'll have a spinoff, which will be the series and the comic. That's before you even get inside the house.
Well, I'm about to say. Right.
You ain't even talked. We ain't talked about the windows.
Right.
We ain't talked about the brick.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the pavers. But we can talk about the copper.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That's perfect.
So the house was made and designed by Frost and Granger through the direction of Miss Louisa Libby to have spiritual elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's limestone, there's copper, and she did a lot of things with different types of wood because she wanted a spiritual place for her and her husband and his friends to meet and be productive.
Right.
She wanted them to be able to tune in. She wanted them to be able to connect with one another. She wanted them to be able to access high levels of intuition. And so one of the key things is the combination of the limestone and the design and the copper. Well, one day I was blessed to have a conversation with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is 100% supportive of the project. He's definitely my spiritual father and superior leader of just all things life in and of itself. He said to me that he was walking up the driveway, check out this history, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointed to a tree. And he said, when they find out who I am, they're going to rip the bark off the trees. And I said, well, okay, we know who you are, so we're going to start ripping. So yeah. I said, we're not throwing anything away. So old windows, we still have them. You'll be able to donate and buy them with a little plaque.
Yeah.
The copper, I was inspired to come up with the idea to create coins. So we took the old copper off the building, found a foundry. It took me 3 months to find a foundry to do this, because most people will make coins for you, but they ain't going to take your old 120-year-old.
Right, and remake it. You know,
and melt it.
We ain't got time for that.
And so with that, to raise money, we created these commemorative coins.
Hey. Okay. Let me see.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I'm gonna get a close up so everybody else can see.
Yeah,
that's
get a
really
close
dope.
Up.
That's got some weight to it too.
It's 35 millimeters, it's 1 ounce of copper. Wow. We have some graded coins and we have some here that are pendants.
Okay.
And it's just these types of things that we're doing to show and demonstrate to the world that our history is sacred.
Yeah.
Right.
From taking old mantles and mirrors that we found and creating murals and benches out of them. And I really want to be the vanguard of the spiritual sacredness of our historic places. So again, yes, Michael Jordan, let's buy up these places and let's create these sacred spaces
that
represent our people.
Right.
And so at this house, you know, we're going to make the first floor look the way it looked in the 60s when you had all those people there. Second floor will be an exhibit on the nation's business or the $100 million empire, which was like a template that was created in an economic condition very similar to where we are now to show you that it will work.
Yep.
And then the key thing that's interesting, we know we can't accommodate the millions of people that want to come. So we're going to do this kind of stuff.
There you go.
Because we live in a world today where, look, we just turned the sidewalk into a studio.
We sure did. Literally. Yeah, we sure did. We had somebody right here trying to jump in the podcast.
Okay. So we're going to record conversations like this.
Yeah.
Where we listen to some of those tapes and talk about what were they dealing with police brutality.
Right.
What was the conversation?
How were they reacting?
I think also what's, sorry to interrupt you, but
it's okay.
I think what's really important is that there's so many narratives as to what happened and who was on whose side and who did what. And I feel like one point is that this house is important regardless of what narrative means the most to you or what you were taught. Like speaking from the outside, obviously. Looking at it, I think the house is
Sarah,
important.
You are inside.
Hey.
Don't even play that.
Yeah.
I know, but it's different because I didn't grow up. It's not my own personal history, let's say. So I don't want to come off as speaking on it that way. But I think it's important. The house is important regardless of what narrative is the listener right now was taught, right? Because there's multiple sides to every story, especially stories as complex as that time period. I think like who am I to say what happened? It's that's not our place. I feel like our place is to kind of preserve these historical homes and to acknowledge that they are important regardless of
what history is.
Your opinion is of history.
Because powerful people walked through these halls and that's basically what I was
saying. And who is anybody to say? And that's why I think it's so beautiful that we have spent a certain amount of time. We have real archives.
Right.
We have recordings. We have videos. And so
receipts.
We have receipts
on
what was discussed and what the conversation was, and that the media has created a PR campaign that's just not true.
Yeah.
It's just not representative of what it is. But it's hard because and before I finish telling about the show, I'll give you this example. It came out recently that the FBI orchestrated the whole murder of Malcolm X. But people still don't believe it. The FBI agent himself said, yeah, I did it. I was there.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, look, I corroborated with that, you know.
But the media brainwashing is just like Tom Burrell says. At one point, the brainwasher becomes the brainwashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The brainwashed, I'm sorry, becomes the brainwashed.
You start telling a lie.
I was going to say, you tell a lie so much, you believe it.
Yeah.
Believe it. So that's why we want to have these talks, to allow people to experience. We want to do cook talks in the kitchen where we're demonstrating how should we be eating.
Right.
How do we combat infectious diseases?
Yeah.
How do we combat the 100,000 plus people in our community that die every year from cardiovascular disease? There's a dietary plan.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And we can do that right there in the kitchen over some healthy food.
That's so dope. So you talk about that. We have the people will see it soon enough, actually, after this one, shortly just after this weeks, episode. Yeah. It's so dope, and you know, it's really cool to kind of hear, you know, that kind of stuff. And we could do this. I did do it for like the other houses. You know what I mean? And have that story. And this is something that, again, another place in Chicago that has a lot of history that a lot of people just don't know. And glad that we can have a forum so people can tell about it.
And I want to get you an interview with the Mojo Museum with Chandra Cooper, who is the great-granddaughter of Muddy Waters. Because what you all may not know is that their music was called trap music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Hey, look.
And they were called thugs, and there were certain places where they couldn't even go.
Wow.
But yet, you got Mick Jagger and Led Zeppelin and the Beatles who came to Chicago in the basement of that house on 43rd and Lake Park to learn from him.
Wow.
That is, you know, I'm going to use that as a segue to the food because, like, that, we're going to leave y'all on that cliffhanger because we did that interview.
For real.
Look,
I
want to, Muddy, that was the only one that we actually weren't able to talk to somebody.
Right.
I took video, I was walking around there, every house I walked up and I touched the doorknob and I touched the door, I was just like, dang, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, but that would be good. Where can we going to come back and we'll recap all this stuff, but like at the end, but where can people find you? They got a site, they got a, Instagram, tell them.
So on Instagram, you can find me at Sajda House, which is SAJDAHHOUSE. And if you want to buy one of these commemorative Elijah coins, all you have to do is go to SajdaHouse.com. SAJDAHHOUSE.com.
And that goes to support the preservation and restoration of this house. So y'all doing a good thing if you go ahead and support.
Yes.
We went to another historic place with a very, very legendary figure here from Hyde Park. We're going to talk about it after the break, y'all. 77 Flavors.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Oh, wow. This cord wants me to fail.
That cord. We need to change that damn cord.
We need to just throw it out.
Yeah, we do.
Welcome back to the food portion of this episode. This portion is brought to you in collaboration with Choose Chicago. Hey.
Everybody got a coin this episode.
So today we went to Valois Restaurant, which I feel like is more like a cafeteria in my opinion, but it's like one place.
It's like
it's like you go up and
you get
a tray. Where you see your food, so you see it and then you pick it out.
Right.
It's
and
like
then
MacArthur.
They cook it right there for you.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the stuff they prepare it
after
you order it.
That's very true.
It's not like pre-made per se.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's for people that don't know, it's a historic restaurant here in Hyde Park.
Yes.
It's been around since 1921.
Hey.
And it is known to be a place where a lot of the politicians in the city would come and eat and hang out, and very famously, Obama, it's one of his favorite restaurants. Anytime he's back in town, he will stop by. They have an entire menu that is Obama's favorites.
Mm-hmm. Smack, too. You got a list. You got a list. You got a list.
He really does.
Right here.
Right, I know.
Love to eat. I love it.
So it is cafeteria-style restaurant, and they've had three locations.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, they had three locations. It was bought by the family that owns it now in 1971, and it's been owned by that same family since then. But yeah, let's talk about how it feels on the inside. What's the vibe?
So for me, it was really cool just because I know Obama liked it.
I'm
an Obama stan, like most people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So I walk in and I was just like, oh, you know,
I wonder what table he sits at.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they should mark that off. Actually,
they really should.
They should mark that off.
Should.
That's a suggestion. Valois, if y'all listen.
People be fighting.
Yeah, I'm not even leaving. If I get that seat,
I'll wait.
We stand here.
I'll wait till you're done.
I help y'all bust tables if I got to. I'll be back here in the morning.
Yeah.
But it was really dope. It's really dope. Yeah. Like you said, it is kind of like cafeteria style. Yeah. You walk up to the lunch line.
Right.
With a tray right there. You give them a tray.
A lunch tray.
Yeah, a lunch tray. A lunch tray at that. And you give them their food. You tell them what you want, they give you the food on that tray.
Yeah. And it's open from 5:30 a.m. till 3 p.m.
And lunch and breakfast is served all day.
All day.
All day.
And what I love the most is every person other than us in line knew the people behind the counter by name.
Yeah.
And like cool. the people bussing the table by name. That was really cool.
Yeah, so it's family. You say you got a story.
Oh, yeah. Tell us your story.
I do. So when I first graduated from college in the 90s, I started selling real estate. Mm. And I was right here in this Hyde Park Bank building selling real estate, or at least trying to sell it.
Trying.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Using an attempt.
I was trying, figuring it out. But I used to see Barack Obama in front of Veloy passing out flyers telling people to get out to vote.
Wow.
He had a little afro. And red, black, and green beads, and always wore like these khaki pants and like some kind of gimmicky t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's a nerd.
And
he's a nerd.
And I would see him all the time.
Yeah.
So much so that he kind of became invisible.
Mm.
And I was working at that time at the National Center of the Nation of Islam on Stony Island Avenue. And one day he came in and was walking around to the offices and passing out these voter registration cards.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, who let him in?
Who let him in? Whose man's is this?
The dude that be outside in front of Beloy. I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, how you doing? He's like, how you doing, sister? You registered to vote?
He's like, you got me already.
Right.
Got me already, man. I see you every day. But yeah, I used to see him right here outside.
If I saw Obama right now, I'd pass out. Yeah, it'd be over. Y'all had to scrape me off the ground.
For anyone that likes,
I wouldn't pass out. I'd be like, let me tell you about the young man.
Yeah, you're right. We got a dope podcast called 77 Flavors.
There we go.
Don't know if you heard about it. Oh, that's so funny. Let's talk about what we ordered.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
You
ordered off the Obama menu.
I ordered off the Obama menu. I think he got, five things up there? Five or six things up there?
Yes.
That you can order from. I got number one, because if that's his number one favorite, of course, I want to be like him. So, which was the New York strip steak with egg and egg sausage, hash brown.
Mm-hmm.
Really dope. So,
Tell us about the steak.
I was about to say, the steak was surprisingly, very good. Not surprisingly very good, but, done fast. So, they cook it.
I would
it.
Say surprisingly, because it's a cafeteria.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I wouldn't expect great steak.
Honestly, did
was
not.
Was it tender?
Yes. It was,
it was good.
Yeah.
I tried a piece. You know, tasty? Really good.
Yeah. Tasty. Yeah. Cut it. I mean, with the eggs, I mean, I had Louisiana on them, too.
Louisiana hot sauce.
Yeah, I mean, so
as you should.
Typical black man.
You know, that's just quota.
Right.
Status quo right there. But no, it was very good. Hash browns were very good. The hash browns that I like that got that flavor and the seasoning to them.
Hash browns fried potatoes or shredded or
they were kind of shredded, but they're not too thin of pieces.
It's almost like you know when you take a peeler, but like a thin kinda, peeler uh-huh. and like they peel got them it. That yeah. way as opposed to shredding. Them.
But they didn't, sometimes they could be sticky too.
I mean, you ate it so fast, I didn't see it. That's
nobody
why I'm
saw it. Nobody saw it.
I just peeked as they put
the tray down on the table. I caught that.
I came back to the table with my food. I was like, where y'all's at? I just went crazy.
Wow.
what'd you have?
I had a chicken wrap, which is very tasty. It was fresh. Had onions and tomatoes.
It's like Southwest
and a
chicken wrap.
Southwest chicken wrap, yeah.
It was. Look hefty.
It was big. It was like a burrito.
Yeah, right. That's
hefty.
What I thought.
That was a burrito for
hefty.
Sure.
Definitely one of those things you can buy in and eat the other half later.
Okay, right. Yeah, because I saw I was like, in my head I was like, ain't no way.
Yeah, no way.
Ain't no way.
And I like to cook, so I'm really critical of food. But the chicken was very tender.
Okay, all right.
It was tasty. Sometimes
wasn't dry.
When you get a wrap, you get this dry, paper-tasting chicken.
Right.
But I didn't feel that.
Really?
And the seasoning was good. And the wrap that it was on was nice and soft. It wasn't hard where it had gotten so much air
it
to
just
it.
Sat there
there's definitely love in the food.
I feel like they put a lot of effort in maybe they do a lot now because especially Obama has been there and people notice maybe I know the food is good you can tell it's just good naturally but they don't miss a beat I feel like they don't have no bad days.
I was gonna I feel like the menu has been the same for so long that they've perfected it.
Yeah.
You know I mean? Like, they just know what they're doing. I had a cheeseburger, and it was perfect. It was. I really wanted to try it for you because I knew you wanted to get something off of them, and I was like, I'm gonna order the cheeseburger for you.
Thank you. That's my girl, y'all.
You know?
That's right.
And I got it with fries. The fries are perfect. They're like crispy on the outside and like soft on the inside.
Yeah.
The burger was good. It was like a single cheeseburger, and I had a side of mac and cheese.
The macaroni.
You sure did. I saw that.
Yeah, that cheese was cheesy.
That's cheesy.
That was cheesy.
Cheesy mac.
It cheesy mac. Yeah.
So it wasn't like a fancy mac and cheese where you have like five different cheese types. It was probably one cheddar.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. Cheddar, butter, and cheese. I mean, and macaroni, and it was baked.
Yeah, and
you had that like crust of cheese.
I feel like they poured excess cheese.
Correct. They sure did.
Like they pulled the rest of the cheese.
Cheese up underneath that crust.
Yes. Yeah, so that's nice. Very good. I was like, wow, okay, this is...
I really liked it.
Yeah, this is the... For me, a place that serves breakfast all day is amazing. Is a godsend.
Yes, yes. Like, I agree.
I could eat breakfast all day.
Yeah. Same.
All day, so... Y'all, I mean, it's right down here on the Dope Strip. I mean, like, if y'all can't make a trip down here, down to the Valois.
And it's extremely affordable. Like, the burger I think, right under $6 for the burger. And same thing with everything we ordered. I think, like, the most expensive thing on the item
was the Obama stuff, of course.
I think that was, like...
It should come with a collector's card.
It really should. You know? Like, I want to see how
I eat my damn food.
Card.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like a ticket. Like a poll card. They make it in the shape of a...
Did you vote?
Did you punch my ticket?
Mm-hmm.
See, you see, I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
I ain't fully figured it out, but I got it.
I see it.
Your meal was...
16.
16. And it's two eggs, hash browns, or rice, or grits.
Yeah.
And it comes with biscuits or toast, steak, and eggs.
See?
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot.
$16.
For $16?
It looked like a lot of food. That's why I was surprised that it was gone so fast. I was like, that must have been.
Must have been amazing.
When I tell you it was good.
Yeah, you said it, though.
Yeah.
You said it.
It was perfect. I think I was just more intrigued by the fact that, like you said, they made the food that fast.
I think what they do is, like, they sear the steak. And then, you know, it's there. But they don't do too many... beforehand, like they'll sear like two or three of them and then they just pop it back on the grill depending on how well done you want it, so it's probably rare but just slightly seared, and then they finish it cooking.
That's very smart.
When you're done,
very smart.
That's very smart because that happened fast.
Yeah,
like I mean
it doesn't take long to cook a steak anyway.
For the non-cooks out here, shit, good luck.
A few minutes on one side, a few minutes on the other side.
Okay, yeah, well,
render the fat.
I'm just trying. What I will say is that so if you are coming down here to Valois, it is cash only. They have an ATM. They have an ATM there. But if you want to avoid the $3 charge, just know that. We try to tell people when we remember. Yeah, bring cash because you know they are nice though. Like they know that most people don't carry cash. I went while y'all ordered the food, sat back down the table. I had the food. They put my stuff down there behind the counter and saved it. So they are understanding with it because I know most places. Yeah. You know, you
did also get two Kool-Aids.
Okay. I'm glad you said so.
Thank you.
Let's talk.
I was just about to say that.
Let's talk about... I'm so glad we didn't get out of here and not talk about that.
Red.
Red
Kool-Aid.
Red 5 was in there.
Not punch.
Not punch. They took two of them packets and did one of these and just...
It's in like a big juice cooler.
Oh. Y'all, let me tell you. When I tell you perfection, this is one of two places that I know of down on this strip that you can get Kool-Aid. The other one is Soul Shack.
Yeah, that's true.
So when I tell you this was scientifically...
Virtue needs to make like an upscale
Kool-Aid.
No,
not Virtue.
No, we don't need no Kool-Aid.
Yeah, not in Virtue. Now,
let Virtue be Virtue.
Right. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
We got enough ratchets out here. You know what I mean?
But when you had... I was like, take a picture of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Had to. I order Kool-Aid everywhere. If it's Kool-Aid on the menu... I don't care about your Sprite. I don't care about your...
That sparked a whole conversation, right? Kool-Aid.
Because, like, here, you can't get... If you go to a place with Kool-Aid, you know the food is automatically good.
They sell Kool-Aid still? They still sell Kool-Aid?
In the store?
Yeah, they do. I'm grown now, so I get the little squeeze juice.
So, just so he doesn't... Because he's trying to cut back on, like, soda and sugery drinks.
Trying.
So, we get these, like, the squeezy flavor bottles that you can, like orange crush.
Orange or purple.
But you just squeeze a little bit of the flavor into your water.
Yeah.
Instead of... And it has no sugar in it.
She's like, what? It's a grown man.
So, because he gets bored of just drinking water.
Look, I'm trying. baby steps. No more pop. Baby steps. Baby steps. No more pop. Okay. No more pop. So this is me. I wean me off in a couple years.
No more pop. Let's just go with the red number five.
You red number five, red number five, y'all. You can get it down right here.
Lesser of two evils. Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. It depends on the sugar.
Right. First Satan? No, I don't know.
Damn. No more red five.
Right, yeah. But it was cool that you got the red Kool-Aid.
I had to. I wonder if Obama got red Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. What can I say?
We all did.
We all did.
You know what I mean? Like, we was drinking water, and back in then we had Tang.
Oh, I love Tang. Tang is my
Tang was nasty, but it was good.
It was nasty. It was like sour.
Yeah, Tang. If you're out there, I hope you're not around.
When I was like a really young child, I used to hide in the pantry.
Yeah,
and I would eat Tang and Nesquik with a spoon.
What?
Literally.
Ew.
Yeah.
Tang and Nesquik.
I don't do that anymore. But no, not together.
Oh, I was
like, she'd just get a spoon and
yeah.
It was
and
all
I would just
she was
it
just
with
doing
a
this,
spoon.
Just all right, here we go.
No, not like
because
that.
The Nesquik had the little tin can.
Yeah. Nesquik with the little peel top.
The little top.
Little peel top. Yeah. Nesquik is a Nesquik slap.
Powder Nesquik is fire.
That NASA shit, I mess with it.
That is what they eat on the moon.
We grew up on Nesquik, Tang.
Bam.
Right.
Lemonade.
Spam. Lemonade. Country Time.
Country Time.
Crystal Light.
Is it the lemonade that comes like frozen?
My Crystal Light. Auntie
really
Barbara
lemonade,
loved Crystal Light. She loved Crystal Light. Auntie Barbara. It's like. Auntie Barbara loved it. Your shit gone.
It's over.
There you
it's
go.
Over. I'm out of this episode. I was going to say Crystal Light is like your Kool-Aid drops.
Yeah, but that was you right. It was nastier. Crystal Light was too light.
It was gross, yeah.
It was too light. Well, this took a turn.
All right.
What are we talking about?
Come on, to Hyde Park, y'all. That's there's how we do. So much. I feel like there's so much to see, so much to do in this neighborhood. It is, even if you just want to walk up and down the streets, go to the parks, get some food, go to the beach. There's just so much. It's like one of my favorite neighborhoods.
This could not be a more perfect day, to be honest.
It's beautiful out.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, and I like the traffic in the background. If you can hear the traffic right here.
I love Chicago vibes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This feels like a Chicago vibe.
Quintessential Chicago vibes out here.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're right here. Actually, inside the building that we're in front of, there's so much going on. I just worked with Dion Dawson, who's Inglewood's son.
Okay.
Worked with him. We filmed something with the students in here that are from the Obama Foundation
nice.
Job Corps. So, really cool. That's right here in this building. So, you know, we talked about Obama. There's so much history here. And, of course, you know, we said it last time, but the in Jackson, Jackson Park is where the Obama Foundation Presidential Library is going to be. So,
all we need is a car to pull up playing some house music.
Yeah,
we came close. If we did that, that'd be a perfect.
Right. That's all we need.
Yeah, that's a perfect ending. That'd be perfect. But, you know, Wendy, thank you so much for doing
thank
this
podcast. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, it was really great to hear about it. Actually, see you again. This is our, third time, talking. So it's really dope to kind of do it. We got many more times coming.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You're going to get your plaque. We ain't going to be here. We ain't going to tell people.
Right. We'll come back and see it when it's
We're going to come back and see it.
We get to see it.
Man.
And plenty of more things to come.
Absolutely.
Because that house is a whole world.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And so as we unveil the whole world that is that house, you guys will be right there.
Let's
We're
get
so
it.
Excited.
I want a signed copy of the movie. I want that.
Yes, please.
I want the movie there.
Yes, please.
Now I'm done.
Now you're done. All right. Well, if you like this episode, send it to someone you like. Share with them the history that you learned today. It was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
You learned so much.
For sure.
If you didn't like this episode, try again next week. I don't know.
Try again next week.
Yeah.
What she's saying is, we don't care. Thank y'all, man. Appreciate it. We out.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of 77 Flavors of Chicago. We look forward to having you again next Monday. So make sure you look out for us on any platform where you can listen to a podcast. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and do all the things. And we'll see you next Monday.